Well, we're going to continue on with our series that we were doing that I thought I was going to finish in Sunday school and then put you through all kinds of torturous war stories from my childhood that I've actually had to go see a therapist about for the past 2 weeks, bringing up those memories. Just kidding. And I don't go to therapists. Maybe y'all think I should. I don't know. But I've told on myself quite a bit. I have a lot of you have come up to me and said, I really want to meet your mom and dad. And I was like, yeah. That may not be a good thing to meet my mom and dad. They'll probably tell you it was worse than what I'm saying it's going to be. Somebody said, it can't be that bad. Yeah, I was that bad and probably worse. We were going through these 10 different detours that can happen with parenting. And we were on number 9, which is depriving discipline. And we went through this pretty quick. Just I'm going to review quickly this slide and go on to the verses that we want to get to tonight. Again, discipline is the control and guidance of behavior. We spent some time talking about that. And in the Webster's definition of 1828 even mentions, and Dr. Hobbs even refers to this in his writings, that it is education. Discipline is education. And it's a process of you teaching your children. And again, we mentioned this last time, it's something that's done for the child, not to the child. When I was a kid, I knew that they were doing something to me. That was clear as day as the rod. Well, my dad didn't, we didn't have to go pick switches. He just got his belt out, and that was a good time. For some reason, I've not liked leather ever since. So, anyway, whatever it was, I was thinking, this is being done to me. There's no way around it, but he was doing it for me. I didn't see that as a, well, I should tell, 2 to 17-year-old, is that how long I was getting beat to death? I don't know. It was a while. I didn't see it then, as this is just horrible. Dad's doing this to me, but it's actually for me. And you take that perspective on when you become a parent, when you teach in a school. Anything you do that involves young people, you realize that discipline is for them, not something that's done to them. That's brought out quite a bit. Discipline is education. It involves a submission. And the goal of discipline, and again, Dr. Hobbs mentioned this, we went through that last time, is self-discipline. The goal is to come to the point where a young person has learned how to discipline themselves. And people get saved in a variety of time frames in their life. Young people begin to be introduced to the truth at a variety of time frames in their life. But the goal is, wherever they are, is for them to understand self-discipline, to be able to grow into that. It doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen with me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only imperfect one in here. It did not happen with me overnight. It took a long time, and I'm still not there. The goal of discipline is self-discipline, where our young people can grow up and graduate from high school and make choices that they know what to choose right and wrong. This is the path. This is the way that you learned. Walk ye in it and go in what you've been taught to do. Quickly go through a few things here. This is what we dealt with last time. Discipline does not allow our children to get away with selfishness, dishonesty, disrespect, destruction, disobedience. And I went off and told you a bunch of random stories about my childhood, because about every single one of those, that was me. Again, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But I failed in every single one of those categories. And the discipline that my parents gave me did not allow me to get away with it. And it took me a while for some of those categories, still working on some of them. But we had to learn those things. And my parents stayed with it consistently so that they were not depriving me of that discipline to help me learn to follow the Lord. Then we went to some passages, and here's where we want to spend tonight, going through some verses of Scripture. Went to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. We all know that verse. Let's start back there quickly. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, and we're going to go to Proverbs for most of the rest of our time. In Hebrews chapter 12, we know this passage. This whole section considers chastening and things of that nature. If you look at, for example, verse number 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's hard to bear, to despise not chastening. It's hard to be chastened, especially by the Lord. The Holy Spirit, as an adult, convicts you, works in your heart. And it's hard to take that from the Lord, but to learn to grow in it. As a child, it was easy to despise chastening. I hated it when Dad said, or Mom said, go to my room. I've told you before, we had station wagons growing up, you know, the old-fashioned good ones where you know, some of y'all remember these, you know, with the wood panel on the side, know what I'm talking about? The old school, and it had the little thing in the back. Pop knows what I'm talking about. And you could sit facing the back window, you know, and we didn't know what seat belts were. It was your brother just going, you know, don't fly, you know, and we'd be, my mom would, we picked up one family that lived out near the Food Lion distribution warehouse. Not that that's important. Just my mind is crazy. And they were called the Wren family. They had just as many kids as we did. We had five, and I think they had six or seven. And I'm telling you, it was pick up the Wrens on the way to school. You know, we'd go out on Long Branch Road, and I remember pull up to that old house, and buddy, we thought we were packed in that station wagon. Add five or six more, just throw them in there. There's no such thing as seat belts. And let's head on down Interstate 95 and go to the Christian school. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So we drove in a variety of vehicles, but it didn't seem what make and model it was. Then we moved up to the minivans, you know, the 1994 and 93 Aerostar vans. Y'all remember those? Huge boxes with a little, tiny little front on them. I got my license in one of those things. Kind of embarrassing, but that's what I did. It had nice rims, though, Kevin, so it was all set. And I remember being in that green Aerostar. Well, first we had a blue and then the green one, and we'd get to the intersection of 421 and Green Path Road. I've even told my boys this story. We go back home. There's a Dollar General now there like there is everywhere else in every single corner in the planet. Going right there, and Mom would, it seemed like by that point she had had enough of me. You know, we're about 9 minutes into that treacherous ride home, and she just wants these five kids to contain themselves, to get out of the car, to go run and play in the woods and the fields like we always did and just burn off all that school energy. But it seems like every time we got to Green Path Road, Mom would look in that mirror, and I'm in the back saying something mean to my sisters, pulling their ponytails, making fun of them for what they did in school. Whatever it could be, I was doing it. And she'd say, when you get home, go to my room, straight to my room. So the rest of the ride down 421, right, going right by Central Baptist, Brother Don knows what I'm talking about, on into Plainview, turn left on Lee's Chapel Church Road with my head down. All my brothers and sisters jump out of the car, and they're just having a ball, going out. They're getting a snack. Mom always had snacks after school. It was a great life. Man, I need to go back to being a kid. She made after-school cake, all kinds of things. My brothers are sitting there eating up, and I'm just heading to the back bedroom with my head down, staring at the bed sheet for another hour. I had the quilt memorized, the pattern. Told you that story before. And then got my just dessert. So discipline was chastening, and I despised it. I did not like it as a kid. It was not fun. Well, here it says, do not despise it. Now, we talked about this last time, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be there without chastisement, therefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. You had a father of your flesh that corrected you? Oh, I did. And we gave them reverence. I gave my dad reverence because there was no other option. Either these lashes are going to continue, or I'm going to give my dad reverence. And after a while, you just go numb and say, you know what? I'm just going to give my dad some reverence here. You just make that choice. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, and here's what we talked about last time, for our profit. Doris and I, a lot of times when we have to deal with students, we tell them, like I said last week, this is not the end. This is the beginning. Yes, this happened. Yes, you did this. There's the consequence. But now we need to grow. We need to move forward. It's for your benefit. If God didn't love you, you wouldn't have gotten caught. You know, I thank the Lord for the times I've gotten caught. I didn't when I was a kid because it was a bloodbath, let me tell you. And I was paying for the sins of my entire life, it seemed, as I was grabbing onto that quilt and going at it. My dad was going at it. But, you know, I'm paying the price here. This isn't fun. I don't like this. It didn't seem to be profitable, and it didn't seem like Dad loved me, but he did. And I got caught because I tell you something right now, and pastors mentioned this many times. You know who the kids are that are the ones that end up getting and messing up their lives? The quiet ones. I don't know how many times I've been tricked over the past 20 years. The ones I think, man, and they end up turning out and serving the Lord. And the ones you think are the wonderful ones, not all the time, they end up going out and going crazy. And you think, what in the world? Because I'm telling you, we don't know, but we've got to continue with that discipline. And it didn't seem to be profitable, but I was glad I got caught. The sneaky ones, the ones that are good at hiding it, they're not getting caught. And in our day today, even sadly, even if they are caught, the parents don't care. Parents, they don't care. They're doing the same thing. There's nothing to catch them for. So it's just a free-for-all. But as Christian parents, we need to thank the Lord if things are brought to our attention. We need to thank the Lord when we find something with our kids. Instead of, you know, trying to make excuses and things like that. If you know what that's like, go get you a middle school boy. Right, Brother Don? Get you a middle school boy, and you'll find out all about, this is happening. And you got to deal with it. Don't deprive the discipline, because chastening means discipline. Chastening means discipline. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It was very grievous to me. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I've always enjoyed that phrase. You know, there's something about the afterward. Something about the afterward. Now, I mentioned this last time. When I was getting walloped, it sure was grievous, and I sure didn't like it very much. And I told you last time, I was real angry a few times. And I mean, again, I'm probably the only one that ever did this. I was angry, and Dad said, he spanked me and tore me up and said, now go to your room until, you know, get all fixed up and it's over with. Well, I was mad, and I just walked into my room, and I was on the other side of the house, and Dad would just hear, door slam. That wasn't too smart. That was one of the times where I got another spanking in my bedroom instead of having to go to his bedroom. I'm having traumatic memories come back to me. I need to move on. But you know what? I had to learn something. What am I doing? What and why? And when I humbled it and said, let's just get this right, boy, there was a lot of peace. There was a lot of peace. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those that are learning from this. So chastening means discipline, and Dr. Brock in his book brings out a couple things. He said, give commands within a child's ability and then evaluate. Don't set them up for failure when you're evaluating obedience and things. And then grievous means painful or sorrowful. And he brings out this point. We went over this last time. The earlier you begin, the easier it is. I think this is kind of where we left off. The earlier, now it may seem horrible that you need to spank a small child. It may seem horrible. And again, I'm not going to tell anybody how to parent. I'm bad enough as it is. I'm no authority on anything. But we found in our experience, when we started earlier, it was easier. It didn't take as long. Now, I was hard-headed. So it took my dad a long time. I don't even remember when the last time I got a spanking was, but I'm sure I was in my mid-teens, maybe higher. I don't know. I was pretty rotten. Kevin, why are you laughing? So I was pretty rotten, and it took them a long time to break through to me. But we found, you know, if you start earlier, you know, it breaks something, the will. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about all this stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But the earlier you start, the better off you'll be. If you can break that will young, the probability doesn't mean they're going to come out. The probability of them coming to Christ increases. And you want to set the stage for that. Proverbs. Now let's go back to the book of Proverbs 13. We want to go there. We'll look at several passages in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse number 24. Go ahead and turn there if you'd like. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's pretty harsh language. You actually would hate your son for not giving a consequence. And sometimes, nobody said it's easy. Nobody said it's easy. I'm going to tell you, it's hard. And when you have more kids, I'm just talking my experience again. I'm not the greatest parent in the world. I'm just telling you my experience. The younger and the more kids you have, it's harder and harder. Am I the only one? And it's like the little baby, and you're like, man, this is hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving away all the secrets, but we made them pull down their britches and their underwear and give a three little stripes there. And that was hard when a cute little baby bottom sitting there. Not that I'm trying to get too graphic or anything. And it's just, don't want to do this. It wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. Nobody said it's going to be easy. But if you spare the rod, you actually showing that you hate your son. And by the way, the reason for that is because it didn't hurt if it was the pants. And then they would pretend to be like, ow, ow. Oh, okay. Some of y'all laughing because you did the same thing. I mean, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Mikey's like, I pretended to cry. Yeah. No. Oh, Dad, that really hurt. Trust me. Yeah. So, yeah, your dad just, okay. Anyway, Michael never got spankings. It was always Caitlin, right? Yeah. Okay, good. So we got it. But anyway, it's you're withholding. You're actually thinking, well, I just don't want to hurt. You know, you're actually hating your child. And giving a consequence, not sparing the rod, shows that you love them, and he that loveth them chasteneth them betimes. That word doesn't mean all the time. It means early. That's what it means in the Hebrew. To seek early at the dawn or at the beginning, because get it out of the way and things become a lot easier the older they get. It should, at least, if you do it correctly. Not all the time. Again, I was probably the exception to the rule because I was a heathen for a long time. And my dad about had to beat me to death for a long time. And I finally figured something out. I'm hard-headed, I guess. Something didn't connect from the rear end muscle to the neurological pathway of the brain. Something was broken in there. So it took me a while to get it. But we start early. Don't condone bad behavior with numerous excuses to avoid the pain of discipline. It's hard to discipline. It's hard. It's tough. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. But we have to do it with our children. Don't avoid the pain. Here's what Billy Sunday said. An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's interesting. So it's a reason, but it's stuffed with a lie. That's what an excuse is. But it's not easy to have to give kind. It's not easy to deal and discipline. But if we love our children, that is what God requires us to do. We've got to move quickly. Proverbs 19, flip over a few pages to chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son, now listen, while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. While there is hope indicates this. The time will come when discipline won't do much. Now, again, I've heard of people doing this. This isn't my personal opinion. I wouldn't do this, honestly. But I'm not going to, again, if you do, it's not a problem. There comes an age, certain age, where, you know, you're going to go spank your son or daughter as an older child. You might find, if you want, that's fine. But there comes a time where that makes them angry, in my opinion, and doesn't get to the heart of the issue. The time to do that is young. Time to do that is young. Now, again, you may need to, whatever. I'm not telling you how to parent. I'm just saying there's going to come a time where discipline won't do much. You got to start betimes early. Got to start early. But when you do, there's hope. There's early. There's hope for them to respond. There's hope for them to develop and for their character to grow. And let not thy soul spare in his crying. A delay in discipline is a very dangerous detour for our children. Don't allow the explanations or the crying to hinder the process. Again, I told you last week, I was talking about the yellow manila envelope. Todd had the red phone, right? Our school had manila envelopes, and we had to walk the walk. We couldn't stuff them in our backpacks. They were huge. We had to walk the shame of Carline holding that manila envelope with all the whole school. Adam's got another one. Isn't that his fourth one this week? And it's only Tuesday? Wait. You know, that's the way it went. And when we got a manila envelope with the letter from the teacher or the principal or whatever, it was our lives were just over. It was done. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and end it right there. Just, Lord, please come back. Take me home to glory. I don't know. Or maybe he won't have me in glory. I don't know. This is the most devastating thing in the world. I got a manila envelope. And so we had to deal with that. And my parents dealt with it. They would, you know, they would call the teacher. And I was like, Dad, please don't call the teacher. Don't do that, because then you'll find out more. And I don't need you to find out more. Because that's the way they were. We live in a totally different culture today, a different age today. Most parents don't even care, to be honest with you. They don't care, and the ones that do argue with you. It's really, like I said last week, it's a failure of the home in our country, complete failure of the home. And then now they're just dissolving marriage, putting everything else in the place. That's another discussion for another time. But without the home, this discipline and chastening and all these things, it's got to start early. Don't let the soul spare for the crying, because as children go up, there's the truth is, they become set in their ways. I mean, you're going to be set in your patterns of life and things pretty early in life. And you think back to your own life personally, and maybe you can see, I can see it in my life, the things that I set early, and they're hard to break now. They're hard to deal with now, and I have to keep asking the Lord, put that down. I don't want to do that in the flesh. It's hard. But we got to break those things early. Let's go to another passage. Chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Very similar type of passage here. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, I don't have to tell anyone here about the rod and all those things. Dr. Hobbs did such great studies on that. Very beneficial to me personally when I first moved here as a young parent to learn about that, because I'd grown up getting, you know, I was spanked with a belt. I don't fault my dad for that at all. I don't really care. I needed it. He probably should have beat me harder. I was hard-headed. But learning to use, what is the rod? That little flexible little shoot. Because you know what it does? It stings. And it's not something you just sit there and, you know, I didn't know how to, Megan had to show me, to be honest with you. I go, all right, here. And I'm trying real hard because I don't know what I'm doing. And it just kind of nothing. She said, no, you got to snap that wrist. Oh, yes, ma'am. All right. So, boys, you can blame your mama. That's all I got to say. I tried to go easy on you, but your mama, man, she just wouldn't let you get it. And, you know, you don't have to sit there and in anger. Don't do it. Don't do it. We determined that it was going to be three, unless they were a little older and the three didn't hurt. Okay, or I missed one. Oh, I didn't snap my wrist, right? Like Megan said, oh, I got to do one more. And, you know, I'm not trying, you see the little stripes. You know, there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. It's not over the top. God designed it to be, that's what he says in his word. Use the little flexible rod. Not whipping somebody on the back, beating their writ. No, we're not doing that. Just because it hurts and it stings and it's a reminder. And it's effective because it's the way God said to do it. And again, I'm no expert. I'm not. You guys in here are way better at it than I am, obviously. But don't withhold correction from the child. He's not going to die. If you're doing punishment God's way, he's not going to die. He will actually, hopefully, learn discipline. He shall. You will deliver his soul from hell. Again, this is. We don't have time to go into a lot of things, but. You know, don't be weak thinking that, you know, you're going to kill your kid. Do what you need to do, and God's going to take, he promises they're not going to die. Just a few little things and you're done. And I'm not trying to go into a lot of graphic. I know this isn't a parenting class, but the thought of children refusing to accept Christ, what about that? That ever scare you as a parent? Or here's what scares me. The professions that aren't real. That's what scares me. I shake at the verse in Matthew. Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied and done many wonderful works in your name? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That scares me to death. It puts you on your knees to know you want to do things for the Lord. But the thought of them refusing to accept Christ, to grow up, to the thought of them growing up and wanting nothing to do with God, that's a scary thought. That's a tough pill to swallow. But if you do things God's way, you're going to deliver his soul from hell. The thought of them rejecting God and ending up in a place called hell. So set the stage. Dr. Brock talks about this in his book. Set the stage for the conversion of your children. Get them in the right thing. Encourage them in God's word. All the things that you can do is that we don't have time to go into as a Christian parent to set the stage so that they are listening and they're amenable to come to Christ so that their soul be delivered from hell. Discipline, again, must be motivated by love, not anger, and it must have an eternal goal in mind. What's the eternal goal here? You're going to deliver his soul from hell. That's the hope. That's the prayer. That as you discipline, they're going to learn and come. They're going to be in the position to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next one, real quick. Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14. You're right there. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Real quick. Child, the word there, child. Withhold not correction from the child. It's infant to puberty. So that's that infant to, you know, 11, 12 years old. That's the ideal time. According to the scriptures here, strike with a rod or, like I said, a switching. You know, it's good old, and we have heard stories of some of y'all come up and told me you're same. We need to start at a support group of the things we've gone through as children. Go pick your own switch, and if it wasn't big enough or the right way, here, Dad, here's a toothpick. No, and then it'd be really bad. Strike with a rod or a switch, and it doesn't mean to beat people to death. Some people take that way too far. He will not die. Don't think that consequences God's way will bring permanent harm. They won't. Consequences God's way will not bring permanent harm, but will bring them to a place to deal with their personal need of salvation. It's their will is going to hopefully submit, and they're going to come to a place where with enough conviction of the Spirit, they're going to be in the place to come to Christ on their own and accept Him as their personal Savior. So the last few things about this verse, proper discipline increases the probability of accepting Christ. Doesn't mean that they will, but you're setting the stage so that they will. Rebelling against parents will make it easier for a child to resist the obedience. I wish I had time to go to these verses of Romans, but I'm already over my time. Rebelling against parents makes it easier for the child to resist the obedience of faith later. Romans talks about this. That when you come to salvation, it's the obedience of faith, the obedience of belief. And children, young people, if you're rebelling against your parents now, if you're angry with your parents now, if you want to do it your way now, there's coming a day where you're going to reject the obedience of faith. I tell you, we're in a Christian school, Christian church. Everyone wants our young people to come to Christ. Everything's set for you. Your parents love you. But just rebel. I'm going to do what I want, do what I want, do what I want. And you will become an adult that rejects the obedience of faith. And that's what's scary. That's the harsh reality. Removing consequences now diminishes eternal consequences later. And this is the point that the Proverbs are speaking about, of getting to those things. Just quick, one last verse and we're going to stop. 22:6. You're right there at chapter 23. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We all know that verse. What's the point of discipline? It's to train and correct. Train up a child. That means to lead them. To lead them to the right thing. That's what God does for us, isn't it? And the training sets the child up for what I want to call spiritual success. I'm not talking about success in the world's eyes. But train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. I've learned a lot of good things by the beatings of the rod in my life. I've learned a lot of good things. It's helped me come to Christ. It's helped me learn how to be, you know, you look at our society today and the way young people are acting, and it's just, you can tell. There's been no training, no discipline. And many times, you know, we get them from all walks of life, all different stages of growth, and it's hard to overcome the home when there's been no discipline. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Training and being consistent with it as parents and continuing on and hoping in this verse, because it's a promise. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Well, we'll get in and finish up a few more things next time, and we'll get into number 10, our last one, and we'll finish up this series. Father, just thank you for your love and thank you for your word. Father, I just pray you'd continue to help us as parents to do those things that are right, to be careful with discipline, to do it with a heart of love, a heart of trust in you, and to understand the consequences, Lord, of not following your word and not obeying. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see our children come to Christ and to be setting the stage for that by following your words. In Christ's name, amen.